Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to the show, one that we've actually received a couple emails on saying, look, this stock is moving for a sector, a junior sector that is having a lot of trouble. This company is doing well, so you should have them on the show. So we're following up with Core Assets, traded on the CSE under the symbol CC. And on the OTCQB under the symbol GCOOF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Nick Rodway. Now, Core Assets is focused at the Blue Property. This is in BC in the Atlin Mining District, about 48 kilometers southwest of Atlin, British Columbia. Overall, this is a CRD, porphyry project. It's a fairly new project and one that I understand, Nick, you really put together yourself. Now, let's talk big picture on this Blue Property because it actually consists of two projects within this Blue Property. Please explain how this project, the Blue Property, came together.
Well, guys, first of all, thanks for having me on. I've been following you for quite some time now, so really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, I mean, Core Assets has been around for about 5 years now. It did start off as a private numbered company in BC, and it all was revolving around an idea. And the idea was, look, you know, try to get ahead of the energy, green energy curve and look for energy metals. So in 2016, I actually first set out to Atlin. It was more of just go hiking than anything. But, you know, there's a couple mineral files in the area that I located online. And there was one occurrence in particular, which we now call the Lavradere Project, which is a skarn porphyry type target within the Blue Property. I traveled down to that area and I was looking for cobalt and copper. And what I found was a lot higher copper than I had anticipated. And the Lavradere property itself has actually been known about since the late 1800s. And, you know, the Atlin Mining District has been around since then as well, and mainly known for placer gold mining. And that was a part of the Klondike Gold Rush. So one thing I noticed when I was going through data in that area was that, you know, most of the work that's been done there was all in Atlin, like basically in the town. And there was only kind of one mineral occurrence that was down at the southwest end of Atlin Lake. So I traveled down there and I did some grab sampling and found out that, you know, this thing had a big time potential to become a large skarn porphyry target. So then later to that, I decided with an investment company in Vancouver that we would actually take this project and list it on the Canadian Securities Exchange. So we went ahead and did that. And, you know, we did it when I kind of say like when the lights were out type thing, because there wasn't a lot going on in the industry in around 2017, 2018. So very difficult to raise money, believe it or not, on this project, even at 5 cents. But basically after that, I went up there every single year and I had a plan. And the plan was to go back into this Lavradere area, do some more work here to figure out what we're dealing with, and then spend a couple of days going west of there where I thought at the time no one had ever been. And that led us to, long story short, to 2021 season, where we went up, myself and another geologist, and we basically just went over that next hill that no one ever went over before. And we ran into a large limestone bedding with massive sulfides, like actual massive metal coming out of the ground. And that later turned into what we call the Silver Lime Project and the Grizzly Manto Discovery Zone. And this area is about 6.6 kilometers by 1.8 kilometers of a very, very high grade material. And high grade means different things to different people. But, you know, across a 500 meter exposed surface, we were able to get over, I think it was around 70 samples, and the average was about 10% zinc, 1% lead, and 110 grams per ton silver. So that's, you know, world-class numbers for that kind of grab sampling. And you know, I'm extremely fortunate to be able to, you know, say that I ran into something that no one's ever seen before, because it's not very common these days, right?
Yeah, Nick, it's a literally a true discovery. You went up over the hill no one had gone over. I like that. And you found a new CRD deposit, which are harder to find, and most of the CRD deposits out there are just old projects being recycled. So it is an exciting discovery story. I know that a lot of the action has been some of those samples that you've been collecting at the Silver Lime, but you do have the Lavradier property as part of that blue overall blue property. But there's a number of exciting targets that you list in your corporate presentation, the Grizzly Manta, which you just mentioned, the Jackie, Sulfide City. Which one has your attention right now, and which ones are going to be getting some work as you continue to do surface sampling and maybe even get to some drilling here in the year to come?
Basically, we will be starting drilling this year at the Lavradier. And the reason is solely because we've spent the most time at that location, and it's actually at a lower elevation. So summer comes there earlier. And we're actually working that prospect as we speak. And I was up there about a month and a half ago, and we traveled down there on snowmobile to do our surface geochemical sampling and whatnot. But after we finish there, we'll probably do about 1500 meters type thing at Lavradier. We will mobilize to the Silver Lime. And the Silver Lime project consists of the ones you mentioned, the Grizzly Manto, Jackie, and Sulfide City. So I don't think Silver Lime and Lavradier are directly related because they're about 15 kilometers away from each other. So I think they're two separate porphyries driving those systems, but the Silver Lime is definitely what is really getting our juices flowing here and getting us excited. And I think that goes for our shareholders as well, because nothing beats a pure discovery play. And to be able to see something at surface that's 90% plus metal, like these samples are quite spectacular. And when you look at a limestone bed, it's very, very white in color. And this stuff is very, jet black. So it actually sticks out like a sore thumb. So that's how we know that no one else has been there before, because it's blatantly there. And, I don't know when the last time globally something, as substantial as this with a surficial expression. And when I say surficial expression, I don't mean, altered area, but to have a 6.6 by 1.8 kilometer of massive sulfide metal occurrences, that is very unique. And I think most people would agree with that for this day and age, right?
So Nick, is there any further surface work that you need or any permits that you need to go through before these drills start turning?
So we've had our permits. One of the things I like to do, I spend most of my time historically doing prospectivity analysis. And one thing I do before, sometimes I even step foot on the property, is I'll actually just see if I can permit it for drilling. So I'm after permitting now the Lavradier about three times, I believe, for drilling. And the Silver Lime area, the Jackie occurrence, that is fully permitted. What we've done, we put out a news release there maybe in September. And what we're trying to do now is we're trying to create an area-based permit so then we can freely move from a target to target. So we are waiting to get that, but we are good to, we're good to start drilling Lavradier right away, and we're good to start drilling at the Jackie, which is part of the Silver Lime.
Well, since it's your first time on the show, Nick, and it seems like you're out here doing all kinds of interesting work from the soil sampling to making the discovery, maybe just tell us a little bit more about your background in the mining industry and anybody else on the team you think you should highlight.
Yeah, no problem at all. So I started out as a geologist. I went to Memorial University, did a Bachelor of Science in Newfoundland. I worked up north with a iron ore company, actually. It was called Baffinland Iron Mines. That is actually, it's called the Mary River Project. It is in production now, but I was on actually the base metal and precious metal exploration team. So I was doing geophysical surveys, gravity surveys, MEG surveys, and just general reconnaissance. So I have quite a bit of experience in going in new areas, and doing preliminary sampling. And that is what gets me up in the morning. It's that excitement of going places where potentially no one's ever been before. So after 2014, I decided to move out to the West Coast and try to look at more on the investment side of things. And I was hired on by an investment company here in Vancouver to do prospectivity analysis. And long story short, that's what led me to this area. And again, it does look actually very similar up there as what it does in, on Baffin Island in areas. It's mountainous and, there's glacier cover and there's not much vegetation. So, you know, anywhere else in the world, you would probably have a lot of trees and vegetation cover, and that wouldn't allow you to be able to get the kind of information that we've been able to do without using geophysical surveys. Now, we've kind of done this a little bit backwards, right? We did do a V10 survey up there, which is an airborne geophysical survey. V10 stands for versatile time domain electromagnetic. So we actually did that after we ran upon, you know, the Grizzly, the Sulfide City, Ant and Jackie area. So we do have a very high resolution geophysical data. And instead of kind of going to where you think the conductivity highs are or conductivity lows, whatever you may be looking for, we went there and kind of found it first. And now we're matching up the geophysics to that. So it's kind of the opposite of what I've done in my past, you know? So it's very unique in that way also.
Let's also talk about some of the other company fundamentals then in terms of share structure. Little under 75 million shares outstanding, fully diluted basis, about 94 million. There aren't that many free trading shares though. Can you explain what's actually available to be traded in the market and what is restricted now, Nick, please?
Yeah, no problem. Since I moved to Vancouver, I've kind of learned about how, you know, because I came as a geologist, not knowing anything about markets, right? But I have learned about how important structure is in these early companies. So I've taken everything I've learned and applied it to Core Assets, and I've been, you know, fortunate enough that I've been able to lock up all the last two private placements that we did. The last one was actually with Crescat Capital. It's a U.S. Fund out of Colorado, and we were able to lock that stock up for a year and a half, and it's on 6-month releases. So we raised about $1.5 million there, and then prior to that, I actually did a financing that I took the majority of, and I locked that up for a year, just a full year. But like you said, yeah, we got about 74 million shares out outstanding right now, fully diluted around 94, and 40 million of those, believe it or not, are the only ones that are available to be traded right now. Everything else is locked up. So at face value, you know, we have, you know, 74 million out, but there's actually only 40 million in circulation. So again, very fortunate to be able to do that. And it's because of the high interest in new discoveries, you know?
Well, Nick, just remind people then, what kind of cash are you sitting on in the company till, and what is the budget for this year's exploration program?
Yeah, so we have about 3.85 million Canadian dollars in the bank as we speak right now. A lot of our deposits have been paid. Like this is a hotel job as well. You know, a lot of people ask me about accessibility. Like we have the hotel rented out in Atlin, and then we'll be traveling down. We'll be mobilizing materials on a boat. And then we'll be traveling down in helicopter, which takes 12 minutes each way. And then hopefully if we can delineate something this year, we will start mobilizing stuff in the winter, and who knows what will happen next. So we're planning for 5,000 meters of drilling, and we're budgeted for, it's about 3.4 million to complete that. And that's with 20% contingency on it. If we can do more than 5,000, we certainly will. So, you know, we will have to obviously go to market for money, just like any exploration company will at some point. But right now we're really good to go, and we can easily get some holes out on both Labrador and Silver Lime before we'll need to go to market. So we're in pretty good shape here. But, you know, like I said, for exploration company, we don't make money. So at some point we will be, you know, coming out looking for more money for sure.
All right, Nick, we're going to wrap it up here. Really appreciate this intro, though. You've walked us very well through this project and the strategy. It's straightforward. This is an exploration play on a pretty new asset, too. So if you go out there and make a discovery, that can truly move the needle. I guess we'll just wait to see what the drill results yield and some more information as the company comes out with more news coming up to that drill program. The company's already had a lot of news out over just this past last 4-5 months. We will post a link to the news area on the Core Assets website. And please, everybody listening, send us your questions. If you want to know anything more about the project, about the strategy, or about anybody on the team at Core Assets, you can always email us fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you. Nick, again, thank you very much for your time, and keep us up to date as this story advances, please.
Thank you for having me, guys.